This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
And people are like, people start telling me about like Diablo Cody and stuff. Like she's like a writer, director or something, and not our engineer Cody. Like that's Diablo Cody. He's like
not
the devil, and he's like a Spanish guy. So if we say,
yeah, we call him Diablo
Cody. He's Diablo Cody,
and then we put his name on some scripts as a joke. Ugh, frustrating. What up, what up?
What up, what up? It's Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz. I'm Hayes. I'm here with Sean. We live in Los Angeles, and we work there in the entertainment industry, and we talk about how to achieve your own success in that field on this podcast.
Best city in the world. Well, it's Oscar season, and they're going to start handing out those awards. Now, we do know some people who are not invited to the ceremony. Hayes and I kind of don't go sometimes because it's just so long.
Mm-hmm, it's gotten really long.
And I'm sick of giving speeches. I'm going to go hoarse and not be able to shout action on the set.
Mm-hmm.
But some people like going to the ceremony, and they've asked us for tips on how to get in. And I would say if you're not invited because you made a hit movie or 10 hit movies like me and Hayes each, at least minimum, then you probably are going to want to be someone's Oscar date.
Yes. And what that is, it's like someone takes you either as a friend or romantically to an engagement.
Oh, yes. For people who live in the Midwest and just marry the first person they see, people out here will date sometimes before they get married and will take that date to a function, when you would maybe go to a square dance or something, we're going then to the Oscars, or the slop line.
It would be like the equivalent of like asking your neighbor, would you like to wait in the slop line with me?
Yeah, if they want to sit with you at the slop line and maybe share an apple core or something, that's kind of, we'll take them to a restaurant, movies, bistro, something nice. Now, how do you get a date like that? Well, a lot of very glamorous women are going to the Oscars and have to bring a date for fear of shame.
But also a lot of people are sometimes afraid to ask them.
Yes. You might think, oh, I could never ask Angelina Jolie. I could never ask Anna Faris to go to this big event. She won't want to take me. But you forget everyone's thinking that because everyone's so intimidated by these beautiful, fantastic women that they're nervous and they get those butterflies in their bread box and they aren't able to just get up the nerve and ask them. So this segment we call Just Oscar Already.
It's OSK, combination of OSK from Oscars and OSK, like talking to someone
like when you
in a question way.
Yeah.
And it's a her because this is a show for straight men and lesbians. So how do you, like, what's the first step? How do you go about asking one of these famous actresses to this big, to the biggest party of the year?
Sure. Easy for us to say. Everyone wants to go with us.
Yes.
But for some people, they really got to get up the nerve to ask her. So I would say one thing you may want to do is find out where Helen Mirren lives. Go sabotage her car so that it swerves and smashes into something. Now, you're following behind. Maybe it smashes, catches fire. You're there with the extinguisher, and you let her out. Now you saved her, and you go, hey, are you going to the Oscars with anyone, or could I ask you right now? She's going to be charmed.
The least she can do is to say yes to going with you, and her husband died in the crash, and so that's one date out of the way.
Yeah, I guess you need a date.
Suddenly, she has an extra ticket.
And you might say, well, what if something really bad happens and, you know, she doesn't survive the crash?
Right. If she doesn't survive the crash, then now you're Helen Mirren.
So congratulations, because you got a bunch of dough, very respected, get to be in some movies, and you're going to the Oscars. And now someone's going to have to ask you.
Well, like, one obvious way to get a date to the Oscars is marrying Amy Adams. Well, what's a way to go about doing that? I'd say a good first step would be to get in good with her mom. She really trusts her mom a lot, and like her mom might mention you in conversation at some point as someone who would be a good fit for Amy Adams.
Women listen to their moms. The mother-daughter relationship is sacred, and so you might want to give her mom a real good fucks in. And if you pound her out just right, man, she ain't going to be able to keep her mouth shut about it.
She's going to owe you one big time.
Oh, yeah. And she's going to be running her mouth all over town. And don't think that Amy's not going to get jealous and want a little taste of what that was like. And then at that point, when she comes up and says, like, can I get that? You're going to want to Oscar to the Oscars. First, just ask her to marry you, and then at the ceremony, you know, just sneak it into your vows. So these are just some really good tips that you can use.
And we must have some more.
Sure, absolutely. Well, another cool thing that you might want to do is, you know, you go down the list. Who gets the most Oscars? Meryl Streep.
You go down the list, and it only really takes one for you to realize that Meryl Streep gets all the Oscars all the time. And so that's the best date to have, because you end up carrying the most stuff in your car.
So what you're going to want to do, you know she's got a lot of Oscars.
But where'd all her polish go in her house?
Exactly.
Maybe somebody snuck in at night to take her Oscar polish away.
You're going to want to get a ring with a very sharp diamond on it. Cut a small hole in one of her windows on the ground floor. Then you get a suction cup attached to the window. Pull that circle
out. Pluck right out.
Reach in, unlock the window, lift it, sneak in, tippy toe into the polish closet.
Blow some dust into the...
Oh, of course, blow the dust.
Into the air, and that'll expose the lasers. Step around the lasers.
Step around the lasers, go under, over, and through any which way you can. And
go to the polish closet. Combination is 69420. Open it up. And just take all the polish that you can carry.
Yeah, and then once you get it out, then you follow her to the general store where someone has bought all the polish just recently. Maybe it's you. She says, but I really need that polish today. And you go, well, excuse me, miss. I couldn't help but overhear in your predicament. And then you ask her if she wants any of your polish. And then you ask her to repay you by making you her date.
To the Oscars.
Thank you, the Oscars. We've got a really great guest today.
Yes.
He's a multi-talented man and just a real comics comic.
He likes comics?
Yes. Most of his stuff is about Dan Klaus.
Chris Ware.
His humor is about Chris Ware or Frank Miller.
I call him a real graphic novels comic.
Yes, he's a graphic novels comic, and I'm into, you know, I'm a nerd. I'm into a lot of that shit. Alan Moore, have you heard about him?
He changed Batman.
Changed, yes, and he changed the way we think about cartoon comics.
And Watchmen.
And Watchmen too.
Nick Thune is here on Hollywood Handbook.
Hollywood Handbook.
And good. So I said the same thing you said.
Yeah.
I was like, you can elect me all you want. Doesn't mean I'm going to actually be your senator for garbage fucking state.
Right.
You know? It's just a name they like, so they write it in. They don't realize that, and just now I have paperwork to do.
Just because you live in California doesn't mean it's like you consider it your home.
Not at all. Antigua. That's for me.
Hey!
What up?
Welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz. Really exciting guest today.
Man, we really have a guest for sure with you for today.
And we're so fired up about having him, and we're going to talk to him, and now he's on the show. Nick Thoon is here. He's a stand-up comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is it?
What does this say?
Read this.
Cody?
Cody, get over here.
Cody, look at what you did. Look at this note card. What is that? A guitar player and a stand-up comedian? Which one is it?
Both.
Okay. Nick, I'm so sorry about this.
Mm-hmm.
Cody apparently thinks you could be both a guitar player and a stand-up. We all know that people have to specialize. That's like saying that you're friggin' Bo Jackson.
Yeah, actually, that's funny. A lot of people do. Hi, by the way.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, hey. Nick.
We hey. Say
what we up, say what up, what up here.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And did the guests say that, or is that just what you guys?
No, just okay, us. Cool. We're just telling you what we say.
Don't be thrown when we don't say hi.
Yeah.
So it's funny you say Bo Jackson. A lot of people actually call me the Bo Jackson of comedy.
Hmm. Why?
Speak on that.
I play baseball and I play football.
Yeah.
But not professionally, on the side. But during comedy, because he played baseball and football, and I play guitar and tell jokes, both professionally.
Nick, look at you.
Yeah, it's when it was happening, I didn't even look. I never thought like, oh, I'm like Bo Jackson, you know, because
right.
I'm a huge fan of cartoon football, and when I was younger, you know, I played a lot of Tecmo Bowl, and I was a huge fan of Bo Jackson and Tecmo Bowl, and in fact, I'd go on record saying probably one of the best cartoon football players out there.
Cartoon football today has gotten so, like, you see these kids playing in, like, Best Buy and stuff,
mm-hmm.
And it almost looks like real cartoons.
Yeah.
I think that cartoon football has gotten almost too realistic looking and too commercial sort of for me. And I wish I could go back to the old days of mm-hmm. Bo Jackson cartoon football.
Yeah. Well, they don't make them like they made Bo, you know, that. And it's frustrating because when a guy goes down in his prime like that and, you know, Bo Jackson, the Bo Jackson got injured.
Mm-hmm.
Cartoon Bo Jackson, he's still playing as great as he was when he started.
He's right. Still as good. You've got to blow into the back of the cartridge.
And you know he won, I think, was it 3 years ago? It was. And this is an actual record, NFL Hall of Fame, best mm-hmm. cartoon football player.
Yes.
I think that was just it. It just was best cartoon football player. But mm-hmm. And so that, you know.
And for people.
He's good at it.
For people who live in sort of the middle of the country who maybe don't know exactly what we mean. On the coast where we have advanced technology, they have almost these virtual reality machines where you can play mm-hmm. cartoon sports
well,
on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, almost close, but no cigar cartoon game inventors. But yeah, we can play cartoon sports on those. Football. What else do they have?
I've seen, I think, almost every sport.
Mm-hmm.
There's a hacky sack one where you hacky sack, you can surf.
And can you do a wicked jester when you're doing that hacky sack?
Oh, yeah. You can come out both sides. And here's what I noticed about all these cartoon games. When you start off, you're not good. And then a day or two in, you get good, you know, and you see the player kind of grow. And
and
it's like a rookie season. I've never had a rookie in any of the games that would have won an award like rated rookie for Don Russ or rated rookie or what was it in – what's that other award they give out? The upper deck or tops?
Yeah, like the tops player.
Yeah,
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
I've never had that first year player. You know, for me, it's always second day kind of where they really kind of come out and they start learning the rules and which buttons to press. And you know, I'm a huge fan of cartoon football, but then I also love like Rod Tidwell. You know Rod Tidwell?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yes.
He was in a different kind of...
A movie, a live-action football.
And let's talk a little bit about movies football and even movies sports. Because you were telling us that you attended the ceremony where I guess Mr. Cuba Gooding received an award for Best Movies Football Man.
Yeah, he actually won the best. And you know the catch he did, the one right before he did the backflip?
Oh, yeah.
He caught that on the sixth take.
So he's that good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because, you know, movies football, it's different because, you know, they call it what they call training camp and getting what do they call that in football where you get bot? What do they elect you to be?
Oh,
they throwing words out.
Coaching or
no, no, when you get drafted.
So,
you know, in movies like football, the auditions a lot, you know, they call drafting auditioning and you go out and you do your workouts and they check out your height and your weight and your vertical and Cuba fought out a lot of other, really great wide receivers, for that movie.
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt, but isn't it more impressive to do movies football because you actually were just trying to probably do acting, and now you're being made play football?
Well,
whereas in a football game, everyone has been playing football.
Well, here's what happened. So Jerry Maguire came out. Cuba Gooding Jr. spun everybody's heads around. They'd never seen a receiver work like that in a movie. You know?
Yeah.
And so Oakland Raiders got on the phone, and they said, we want to audition Cuba to be on our team. And they sent him the sides. He read the script for the season.
Yeah.
And I forgot who wrote the script that season. I think it was – could have been Scorsese. Could have – it's hard to say who wrote the script that season for the Oakland Raiders. They didn't make it all the way to the Super Bowl because the writer didn't think that was right for those players and for what their motivations were and the payoff.
It was movies you could get away with. It didn't always have to be a happy ending like it does now where every team always wins.
Yeah, and when Cuba read the script, he saw first scene, first page, he gets paralyzed. In the first game, first page of the script. Yeah. And he just didn't know, maybe for the rest of my life I want to deal with something, you know, wheelchair, paying people to help me out.
Scorsese wrote the Raiders. Yeah, and people will team up. You and get like this Steve last Zalian year. And Sorkin are getting together and they're writing with Quentin and...
You know who wrote the Seahawks this year?
Oh, I can't wait for this scoop. Who was it?
It's a ghostwriter.
Oh,
so
okay.
They said, and this is one of those things where you hear it and you don't believe it. They said Eddie Murphy wrote it, and you know he's never really written a movie. He comes in, gives notes, and they change a lot of, you know. Mm-hmm. But he ghostwrote it.
Really? I saw that.
That makes so much sense.
Well, because you know, ghostwriting all the players.
Yeah,
like that would explain why that was the case. Because
Cuba are old buds, and you know, have you heard the term ghostwriting the script, where you're writing a script and you get out
you
of it,
you stand alongside the
and
script,
you, yeah, and you
dance.
Just run out the script, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, he just never got back in, and somebody else sat down and wrote all of it. Then he finally came back and he sat back down at the end and wrote the last period and wrote the end.
Yeah.
Bo Jackson, people call you Bo Jackson.
The Bo Jackson to come. Well, I made this documentary called Disarmed. And it really kind of encapsulates this time in my life where I broke my arm two places, elbow, wrist. I was carrying a pizza. I was walking across a cobblestone road. I tripped on a trolley track. You've heard the story.
Yuck,
you know?
I can't.
You've heard it.
My skin crawl.
It's too scary.
I just can't.
And the doctor, you know, because I play guitar and I do tell jokes. And, you know, I went into the doctor and he said I was probably never going to play guitar again for about 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so it's called This Armed because you could only use this arm during the...
Disarmed.
Like it's sort of an urban flavor to this arm.
Dissing armed robbers, dissing armed, just armed grocery stores.
Right. And ultimately, disarm, dad arm, it doesn't, you've sort of realized it didn't really matter.
What a strong lesson. Speaking of lessons, if you could teach someone out there who's listening, who wants to do stand-up comedy, if you could give them sort of a starter kit of tools to take with them on this long journey, what would you say would be the most important thing to start with?
I'd say the first thing you got to do is you got to pick one out. You know, you go out, you pick one out, and you don't have to take lessons, but you do have to learn how to read music.
What do you look for when you're choosing one? For funniness,
I go with wood.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
You know, I like wood. I like there to be a strap on it.
Oh, okay. Hey. I'm liking this.
All right, I think that's about as far as we go on that. But.
Yeah. We don't need to go too deep into it. But so then it's really about how you progress, the progression. You know, and for me, it's like GCD or what you would call 1-4-5, which is just you're taking the element of the structure, you know, and you're really creating what the Beatles created, and you're creating what Richard Pryor, you know, who they call the Beatles of black comedy.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing is you're creating an ambiance and an environment for people to be able to open up and be somebody that they aren't and listen. And it's hard to explain this to, you know, because it's something you feel. Well, for instance, Bo Jackson, when he was in eighth grade, he dunked a stick.
Mm-hmm.
He picked up a stick and he dunked it.
Because that's all they had. That's what they used for, like, pencils and paints.
Yeah. This was in the, the 70s, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, and that was...
Yeah. And he dunked it through another stick. I mean, that's...
We're talking no iPhones.
That's what they had to do back then.
No right. iPhones. No headphones.
They sure just weren't playing cartoon football.
You know, no phones except really home phones.
Mm-hmm.
If that.
Mm-hmm. So you look at Bo and you see the dunking the stick and you hear that he killed a pig with a rock, you know, when he was 8 years old just by throwing it at it, you know.
And he caught him sliding into home.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, back then if you wanted to play a pickup baseball game and you were, you know, you grab a few pigs, you throw them out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you were a man short, you throw a pig out there, you put him on home plate, you know. Mm-hmm. Pig's your catcher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, ideally you want him at third.
Oh, well, I was thinking of a really big pig.
Uh-huh.
Yes, if you've got a pig that's in shape that can move, yeah, you put him at third base just because he's going to have better instincts for that position.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to get too bogged down in which pig goes where.
I've seen some coaches put the guy at short, and it's just like I want to pull him aside and say, hey, I know I'm not the coach. I know I don't know you. Mm-hmm. You got to put him at third.
It's the new
– he's a great shortstop. He's an all-pro third baseman is what he is.
Are you like a sabermetrics guy? It sounds like you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really love that sabermetric system.
Mm-hmm.
It's
all the money game stuff and like just how sports is new.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's
Speak
new.
On that.
Sports, okay, they're new and you think that means they're fresh. That means that they're clean and that's not what new means in this sense.
No.
New in this sense is dirty. Like when my son was born, he was fucking filthy, guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the mouth on this kid, you know. And
yes.
He was new though.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't clean. You know, and then you start taking care of the sport and you clean it off yourself or you hire a couple guys to come in and do it on a weekly basis, Tuesday mornings. Maybe they come around 11, sometimes 11:30, depending on, you know, because they're coming from over Marina Del Rey and you're, you know, but, and that's baseball and that's soccer.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you apply, so the sabermetrics you're applying to your son and he's kind of baseball for you.
And yes, and he pooped in the womb and that's still on him.
And that's still on.
That stuff doesn't come off?
No.
Would you like to give us a quick rundown on how we have a stand-up comedy machine here if you want to do like a...
Oh, what do you guys have?
A quick tutorial and like how to
use what machine do you guys have?
I don't know. I got it at a premiere. They just kind of... We're handing them out.
Yeah. You know... okay. That machine?
Yeah. You know this one? It seems funny. I just don't know, like...
Yeah, see, now, I've never personally worked with this specific one.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if it... I know on mine, if I... You know, and people say they're all the same, but they're not.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know on mine, this sounds like... This is probably one of the coolest things you could play. And on this one, it doesn't sound right. No. I gotta try all different... Yeah. You know, and so, like, let's talk about opening, right? You want to open strong. And so for me, what I like to do, this is one of the opening ones I do.
Okay.
You know.
All right. I like this guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm ready to laugh. And
I feel like he's my friend.
And here's the thing is, if that works, you don't want to know what's coming next.
Okay. Relatable much?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's when people are like, okay, this is something I can apply to my life.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't just this guy talking about being rich and talking about, you know, what it's like to have servants. It's like this guy's actually talking about the blue collar guy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And is it maybe questioning authority a little bit? In a way that feels a little dangerous.
But in a way that the authority wouldn't even recognize that they were being questioned.
Yeah, and let me go back to the blue collar guy for a second. Because here's the thing, is if you're wearing blue paint and then you put your shirt on, your collar's going to get blue. And and that's why I'm saying for the Blue Man Group, clean off before you put your collared shirts on. That's that's the simplest way to put it. But I think that also applies politically to what's going on right now in the working class. And I don't mean to get political all the time, you know.
It's not the place of this show.
It's not really
normally.
Yes. I don't want to stop
free.
You. You're welcome to keep going.
It's a platform for you.
We prefer to stay out of.
If you guys don't mind, I'd like to. This is a political joke that has been crushing. And when I say crushing, it's getting laughs, obviously. But at the same time, it's people are getting their minds opened.
Oh.
He doesn't know. I'm getting I just want a free tune. See, hear that? See, he's tuning for free. He has no idea what my plan is. That. Look it up. And that's the closer on that joke.
And it's not that you can't afford it. I mean, you can afford it, but why pay the money when there's a sap?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And that's kind of like my relationship.
Mm-hmm. And... oh, this guy, everything has been handed to him on a spoon.
Yes.
You know?
And, uh-oh, there's a dark time. But then at the same time, what?
Okay.
Oh, there's a light at the end.
Yeah.
Always a silver lining.
And, you know, I'll do those ones sometimes.
Mm-hmm. You know? Just one-liners like that.
Oh, and have you heard of these kind of jokes?
Oh, that's that all influence.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes you got to show them the bottom so they know there's a top.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there is no bottom, there is no top. And that's a fear, I think, that a lot of audiences have. They don't know, is there a way out? Is there a way in?
Mm-hmm. Now, Bo Jackson...
did I walk here or did they bring me here?
Mm-hmm.
Bo Jackson, we've often said on this show that comedy is only surprises.
Mm.
Speak on that.
Comedy is only surprises. Have you ever been to a surprise party?
I haven't.
Mm-hmm. You haven't?
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Well... I like to, for me, comedy is more like, okay, here's the essence of a surprise party, if you guys haven't been to one or even heard about them, which it seems like, is what you do is you find somebody and it's not their birthday.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
And
then you plan a whole event, you get a whole bunch of people they don't know there, and then when they come in, thinking they're going to a doctor's appointment, you've maybe, you know, messed with some paperwork or medical,
and you're a doctor.
Medical
a doctor,
paperwork, yeah. And they think they have cancer, and they think they've got 2 weeks to live. Mm-hmm. And then when they come in, surprise, these are all people that are also dealing with cancer. You say that, you know, he doesn't know all these people. None of them have cancer.
Okay, I think I have been to one of these.
And then they really kind of talk about how it's hurt them and how there's no way out, and it, you know, and then you really what you do is then you start putting stuff in their shampoo, stuff that the hair is going to start falling out. And so, you know, obviously this is what happens when you have cancer. And then you really start getting into their diet. And what you got to do is do some – they call them poison pills, but they're just these little pills you can buy. And you start putting them in all their food.
Mm-hmm.
And then it really starts to just affect their body in a really negative way, in a way that cancer would. And then right when they're about to die, you tell them all the stuff. And you say,
they're
we can bring you back. You don't have cancer. Surprise.
Mm-hmm. And that seems like a great way to deal with your own cancer at the same time, to have someone else who's going through some of the same stuff. It's scary alone.
And to deal with the pressure of being a doctor.
Yeah.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Giving yourself all those x-rays.
Can take its toll.
You said now?
Now, how do you feel about this sort of a cappella comedy movement that's been happening?
I love it. You know, and I think a lot of people are threatened by it, and they're worried.
I don't get it.
This is the new generation. Yeah. You know, these guys that are doing it without the guitar, mm-hmm. you know, and they're untraditional, you know. And the audiences are bored. And that's the thing, is you see the Louis C.K.'s, you know, the people out there that are kind of in the forefront of this a cappella stand-up.
He's one of the main ones that I don't really get what he's doing.
It's hard to.
Yeah.
I try to, like, when I listen to his stand-up, I try to kind of sway, and I don't know which way to sway at what time.
I can't tell what tune he's doing, what the chords
and
are.
My clapping is all off the beat. Like, it's not funny to me.
If we don't know what music is it's under it, then how do we know that he's saying all that stuff in tune?
Yes.
You know, and he's saying the right melody. He's just making melodies up.
Seems like a cheat.
Mm-hmm.
But you like it, you said.
What?
A cappella comedy.
Oh, I do like it because it's actually, people are seeing how great I am because of it.
Okay, that's what the,
you know, and people look at it, they're threatened by it, and they go, it's a new thing. But once people watch the second a cappella comedian, they're like, we want to get back to the real thing.
Yeah.
You know, a structure that we understand with progressions that make sense to us.
Mm-hmm. You ever jam with Weird Al?
You know, we've gotten together before. You know, I'm a Northwest guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I've never actually jammed before. I've never, you know, and it's this whole thing about getting fruits and then you crush them up and, you know, and you're doing it together and you're just kind of doing it where it takes you.
Oh, are you thinking about like making preserves?
No.
Oh, I'm talking about dunking basketballs.
Oh, basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we've never played basketball before.
Oh, okay.
Never jammed with him then. When you're working on like a parody song, are you only doing what's currently on the radio, or would you ever go after what's a classic?
And like the combination of current radio and current news, or do you take sometimes old things that are in the news and
maybe like
a new
you do
song?
A Joey Buttafuoco thing on like the new Lord song, or would you do
an
Obama
that song?
Thing? We'd love to hear that.
Well, here's like I was doing this parody song today actually. You know, just hanging out with my son. And I'll just go like, you know, who's a little baby sitting over there? I gotta go to the bathroom. Can you sit in here alone? Is that okay? You know, and I'll just kind of say what I'm really thinking and sing it to him. And then talk about, you know, the burden of being a father. And it's just like no free time anymore. You know, and you kind of go through all that stuff. And he loves it. He really does, you know.
He's getting into it, And that was a parody of that old Splish Splash, I Was Taking a Bath song. And I think we all remember that one. And I remember thinking you couldn't parody it because it's already kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're taking what people think they know about baths.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, usually you're trying to keep the water in the tub. You're not thinking about splishing and splashing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And usually you're not taking a bath on a Saturday night.
Yeah, usually you exit the bathroom and you're in the privacy of your own home.
So they really took kind of they took bathing and flipped it.
Yes.
Is what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then they started having bathhouses after that song came out. That was kind of the big push for that. People would want to take baths all the time.
Mm-hmm. That movement in music, would you say that was a big influence? Bath music?
A lot
was
of people
like a big
think that's what started the blues.
Uh-huh.
When those bath songs came out, specifically that one bath song.
Is that what gave white people the idea for the blues?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's really no way to know where white people get their ideas from.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to know that they got them and that it came from a place.
Probably we'll take care of it. Yeah, God, just trust us. We'll take care of it.
But,
yeah.
But I think it might be time to dive into the popcorn gallery. Is that right?
Yeah, I like to do that. Do we want to...
Now, Nick!
We've never really been able to figure out how to
get
this across.
So... The Popcorn Gallery is a segment on our show where a lot of the people who listen to this, I don't know how they get their hands on it, but they don't have access to all of the funny famous friends that Hayes and I know, and so they'll ask questions that they can't ask themselves.
Now, let's get into the name of the segment.
Please.
Traditionally, when you talk about like a sort of silent majority of a population that's like still commenting, you might refer to them as the Peanut Gallery. However, this is a podcast about the entertainment industry, one subset of which is movies. And at movies, one of the most popular snacks that they serve,
we feel,
in our experience, is popcorn.
Yeah.
At the movies, yes. So
he doesn't get it.
I've heard, you know, I know that I've actually seen movies where people are getting popcorn at a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
this is connecting to you that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of movies that way where they get, they're going to see a movie. We're watching a movie and they're going to a movie in the movie.
Okay.
And they do the thing that everybody does in a movie when they get popcorn is, or in a movie when they go to a movie is they get popcorn.
So there is still a popcorn movie connection to you. Mm-hmm. Through seeing
from when I've
movies,
seen movies,
seeing
and
movies
people
about
popcorn,
people eating popcorn
at
the movies.
The movies.
Yeah.
Let's reach into the bag and pull out a question from the popcorn bag.
Crunch, 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 crunch. Yum, 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 yum.
You know, I'm actually, you guys, I hate to keep doing this, but what is that? Kettle corn. Can we do this with kettle corn?
Okay.
See,
so there's a
now
certain class of movie theater that you tend to patronize.
I've never tried kettle corn.
Okay.
I've seen it talked about in movies. I've seen
want to fabricate the kettle corn experience in a safe way.
And I've never seen anybody in a movie get kettle corn when they were going to a movie.
Mm-hmm. But you don't really like to play by the rules, do you, Nick?
The two rules I live by are Metallica rules and Jaw rules.
So, okay, kettle corn it is.
Come at me.
Come here we come.
The question fell back into the bag.
Let me get it. Crunch, 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 crunch. Mmm, a little sweet.
A little salty too, huh?
This is a question from Octodoctopus. Nick, were you surprised when Comedy Central stole your idea for Too Soon with Nick Thune and turned it into the Jeselnik Offensive? Or was that your plan all along?
And they, those, when you go in and you pitch a show, you think no one's ever going to hear about it, but obviously people have.
They released the tape of that pitch.
That mirror, the mirror is not.
That's what I heard they're doing. That's
one-sided,
a big thing now.
It's two-sided.
They're doing just pitches. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't bothered because for me, you know, I love Anthony. I want him to succeed.
Mm.
You know, Too Soon with Nick Thune, that was an idea that for me was not meant to be on TV. That was something that was just meant to be pitched. So
yes,
just getting in a room and pitching it was a success.
We all have those projects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cannon fodder.
And then
let them shoot one down so you can do the idea you really
want.
Hey,
don't hate the pitch, hate the show.
Hate the show.
And then it seems like they're always like, oh, great, we'd love to do it on TV. And you're like, oh my God, you actually like that?
No, this was just a pitch.
Yeah.
This is literally just
oh my God.
This is just an idea that I like coming and telling people about. It's not something I want to take to another level. It's not something I want to,
I can't,
because then imagine pitching a show that was already on the air. You wouldn't get to pitch it anymore.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many pitches I have to end with being like, I was fucking joking, you idiot, when they try to make it into a TV show.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what's so wrong with this business right now is that everything's got to be on TV.
It's a bunch of fucking yes men that want to make every other fucking thing you say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, some of them are just being said to be said.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another question in that popcorn bag?
I don't know. Let's check.
Salty and sweet and salty as well.
It comes right in at the end.
This is a question from Chanson. Nick, you worked at the Boys and Girls Club at Emily Dickinson Elementary School. I came there from Einstein Elementary almost every day in sixth grade. I remember you. Honestly, and here he says something a little mean.
He's a little rude sometimes.
We'll skip over that part. But I'm super excited that you've done well in Hollywood. Do you stay in touch with Pinky?
I want to hear the rude part.
No, we don't have to do that. We're having fun. We're just trying to have a good time.
It's a nice vibe.
Do I still stay in touch with Pinky?
Yeah.
He's referring to it. I collected ants. Mm-hmm. And I actually just have gotten out of the game totally. You know, I don't... And thanks for asking, Chanson. But yeah, you know, it's one of those things like when your dog dies and you don't want to talk about it anymore. And Pinky, I don't think, died. And, you know, I don't know how long ants live. I hear 100 years or so. But I'm just, you know, I got out of farming.
So you used to stay in touch with some of these ants.
Yeah. There were ants, you know, I didn't go buy these ants at a store. There were ants that I literally just found outside, you know, and it didn't seem like they had a home.
Yeah, you're taking them in. And ants can, this is kind of cool, but ants can live for, I think, 10 times their own body weight.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to...
If he was a big fat guy.
I don't want to, like, live with this thing, Chanson said. I'm just going to carry this around.
Yeah, no, okay? I know. You have forever. To say it. You have to say what he said.
It's not fair to me.
Here's another thing you got to realize about kids like Chanson is they don't know what's mean.
No.
They don't know what compliments are. They don't understand what people consider when people say things, you know, and how long it could last and what the words mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He said he thought you had a goofy face.
That's fine.
What was your face? What was going on with your face back then?
Yeah, back then, because I'm looking at it. It looks nice.
Oh, thank you. You know, a lot of kids used to say stuff like, you look like the hyena from The Lion King.
Which one?
Whoopi.
Okay.
And
I see that.
And that sits with you, you know? And and Chanson's probably one of those haters out there. And it's not, for me, it's not bad to look like a wildlife or, you know, even wildlife that's considered ugly and odd looking. It doesn't bother me. And even if it's voiced by a character who has predator hair, you know, it's hard to, you know, I don't want to pinpoint. But no, and Chanson, thank you. I'm glad that you thought I had a weird face.
Goofy,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and growing up, one of my favorite Disney characters, Goofy.
See?
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't saying you look like Goofy. I think he was saying you have a goofy
face. It's a lowercase like g. I should have said that. That's my fault. It's a lowercase g. He's talking about that, like it looks unusual in...
I thought he's, you know, playful and fun like Goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that the way he phrases the question, too, is like... Honestly, I thought you had a goofy face. And then he goes, but I'm glad you found success in the entertainment industry.
I don't think he would say, honestly, I thought you had a fun, playful face. But
I mean, this is what I didn't happy want to say it initially.
Did he text you guys directly or is this a Twitter?
This was on our forums.
On the Earwolf forums, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So he's into hip things. Good for him.
Yeah.
I'd like to take a look at his face.
It's out there.
Let me take a look at it.
Sure, yeah, let's pull it up.
Okay.
I think I can get it.
No, I got it right here.
Okay, great.
I almost just drank this special juice.
Please don't drink your dip spit that you've been spitting into a juice bottle.
Okay, I got it right here. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a really quick look.
Oh, Chanson. Oh, you break my heart.
What happened to that little kid?
Yeah, he grew up. That's what he did. I'm proud of you, Chanson. You grew up, buddy. And I'm proud that you found success in the podcast
forum commentary.
That's good. You made it onto a podcast, man. I want to know if Chanson's ever thought of something as groundbreaking as scented Wi-Fi. Which is something I thought about that I'm working on.
Oh, okay.
I want to know if Chanson, you know, does he do director's commentary on his texts, on when he does voicemails? I mean, because, you know, I when I buy a DVD package, if there's no director's commentary and I don't want it, if I get a text, I want to hear what was behind the text. I want to know, you know.
What went into it, yeah.
So you're saying you're not just a goofy face, and people with the thing that you have actually have something to say.
And they need to be heard, and which can be frustrating if you're dealing with people that are hearing impaired.
You just want to shake them sometimes.
You know, just the way you do your baby.
It's just making it worse. Yeah. That's poke how they got that way in the first
poke
place.
Poke them right in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know where you are.
Yeah.
Did we have another question?
Sure.
Okay.
Not that good.
It's not very good.
We can do it anyway.
Let's do it, and then we'll cut it later. Mmm, getting the notes of sweetness.
This question is from Thelonious.
And there's the salty.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
This question is from Thelonious Junk. It's like, he's a jazz musician. Yeah. Forget it. Is there a guitar you are partial to when joke slaying?
No one ever asked that question.
Like I said, not very good.
Is there a guitar that I prefer? For me, it's the opposite.
Mm.
Does the guitar want to work with me?
Is that the opposite?
That's a self-centered thing to think, I can pick whatever guitar. I walk into a store and say, who thinks they can handle me?
Mm-hmm.
That's first off. And six of them are going to walk away right there.
Yeah.
Or, the employees are going to come over and move them out. But, and then you just kind of, you walk around, you're around the guitars. Who's looking at you? Are they interested? Are you flirting at all?
Mm-hmm.
Is this somebody that you're attracted to guitar-wise?
Yes.
Have they been with a ton of other players? Do they get your sense of humor?
And if they've been with a ton of other players, that's damaged goods, right?
Yeah. Oh, sometimes.
Yeah.
Also, sometimes.
But experience is important,
too. Yeah, experience can be a great thing, but sometimes you want to get that freshie, Something that feels great, feels really good.
Yeah,
break bust that guitar's cherry wide open.
Mm-hmm. Well, and but you also want to respect it.
Mm, yes. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, respectfully bust the cherry open.
Yeah.
So you're saying the guitar you're most partial to is your wife?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to double back quickly. Yes, that is the opposite.
Well, we know a lot of people double back if they're trying to throw the scent off.
Okay. Well, then I don't want to be accused of that. I'm kind of in a pickle here.
Mm-hmm. I want to double back a little more. When you said you were a Northwest guy, what if he was talking about Northwest?
The baby?
The baby.
Mm-hmm. No, that's...
Oh, wow.
What if?
That would... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, what if he was talking about, like, Washington and Oregon?
That region, yeah.
Right. I was talking about the baby Northwest.
Oh. Should we just do the whole thing again?
We might want to start from the top, so we're going to scrap this one. Cody put a note next to the file that it's garbage. We'll do a quick sign-off just for funzos.
Nick, do you have any projects coming up that you'd like to plug? What's up, movies?
Should we even plug in at the top of this, maybe? Nick plugging his new special, isn't that out right now?
Yeah, special on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Thune, that's me. Folk Hero is the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just there, it's streaming, it's there forever. You can have it, you can show it to someone.
Very generous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, it's not always about owning things, it's about giving it up, giving it away, letting mm-hmm. them have it. And if you can make a shitload of money and be really successful and respected, then why not,
What else do you recommend on Netflix?
Somebody brought this up yesterday. This Lance Bangs actually pitched this idea that the best way to actually enjoy House of Cards is to watch 5 minutes of an episode, watch a minute of my stand-up, go back.
Mm.
Then once you've seen the full thing, just kind of have it playing while you're doing it. And of course, each time you got to click the 5-star rating because that's how you can watch it again.
Yeah,
And it also takes you to a different level. People don't know that. That's a little
okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I watched Nick Thune Folk Hero, you'd recommend watching 1 minute of House of Cards.
Why not?
Yeah. Okay. That adds up to me. Well.
Rate us on iTunes.
Like us on Facebook. Please comment on the forums and just talk to us. And
if you know a celebrity from your childhood, maybe you were like a poor child in some kind of aid program where you just needed.
You want to take a pot shot at some guy who's doing pretty well right now?
Who was kind enough to talk to you when you
take care of you? Yeah.
You want to fire off at him? Bring up a painful memory of a pet that he lost, basically. Go ahead, mm-hmm. That's what we're here for. Buy the pro version.
Mm-hmm. What's the prize? We must have a prize in the forums.
Oh, Nick Thune's going to play a tasty riff for you if you bought this pro version. And who bought it last week?
I think Tim Treese bought it.
Tim Treese, go to Tim's vlog, bought the pro version. So he's going to get just a real tasty riff.
Mm-hmm. Should I do that right now?
We can wait.
We can do it another time, you know?
Yeah, that's fine.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. The wolf dead.
That was a HeadGum podcast.